Tessares is a Greek word meaning four. Neo, either being new or Northeast Ohio, whichever way you want to look at it. So that's why we're called the Neo Tessares Saxophone Quartet. Playing alto saxophone is Corey Kaspschick, the most infuriatingly difficult name to pronounce on alto saxophone. Betty Jean Wischmeyer on baritone saxophone. She looks a little different from the posters. We had a substitution change because our other baritone player moved to Houston. And then Tom Lentner on tenor saxophone. And I'm John Perrine on soprano saxophone. The next piece we're going to play is a five-movement suite by Edvard Grieg, commonly known as the Holberg Suite. This is kind of interesting because Grieg, whose dates are 1843 to 1907, wrote this piece in a style that's supposed to sound like the times of Bach. The name Holberg comes from the name of a playwright who is a contemporary of Bach, And Grieg was commissioned to write a piece commemorating his 200th anniversary of his birth. So this suite is also known as In Holberg's Time, or there's also a subtitle that used to be called Suite in the Olden Style. So what Grieg did is he used some dance movements like Bach would have in Bach suites. We've got the first movement is a prelude, and then a sarabande, a gavotte, an air, and a rigaudon. And these all are reminiscent of how Bach would have written in his time, but they still have kind of a sensibility that's attributed commonly to Grieg. So this is a five-movement work, Aus Holberg's Zeit. That's fancy German for In Holberg's Time. You can laugh.
Can I ask what tesseres means again?
It means just four in Greek. Yeah, it's not as impressive as it sounds. But so New Four or Northeast Ohio Four. You guys want to take another pitch, just for funsies? We're going to tune again really quickly.
Thank you.
Saxophone quartet based on the works of Kurt Vonnegut. It's five movements, The first four movements are based on short stories by Kurt Vonnegut, and the last movement is based on his memoir. So I'll briefly explain each movement before we play the whole thing. The first movement is called Welcome to the Monkey House. And this short story takes place in a world where it is grossly overpopulated and people can't help but stumble over each other, and food is hard to find, and people are looking for solutions to this problem. And people have taken into practice attending these places called purple-roofed ethical suicide parlors, which are always, for some reason, located right next to a Howard Johnson's. No, this is very, if you've read any, this is very in line with Kurt Vonnegut's dark sense of humor. So to do your part in trying to help the world overpopulation, you can volunteer to go to a purple roof ethical suicide parlor and do your part to lessen the burden on the world. So in this first movement, there are a lot of sounds of, we almost sound like we're stepping on each other's toes in a way at times, and there are some very dense parts to the first movement. The second movement is based on a short story called Harrison Bergeron, and the context of this story is that the United States Handicapper General, who is an officer of the court appointed to make everybody exactly equal, so no one is any more smart, powerful, or attractive than anyone else. So if you're extremely strong, they weigh you down with weight so you can't move fast. If you're a very good thinker, they fit you with things they put in your head that make buzzing noises right when you start to think any thoughts that might be free. If you are extremely good looking, they put hideous masks on you. Okay, so everybody becomes equal. Now, one character that breaks out of this, his name is Harrison Bergeron. He's figured out a way to break out of these bonds. And he's both very strong and very good looking. So he decides to take over a radio station. He breaks out of all his weights. And at some point, he decides to dance with a beautiful ballerina who's in the studio. And that's kind of portrayed in here. So, and by the end of the story, of course, he has to be killed because he's too different than anyone else. So there's a part in here that represents when he gets killed, and it's pretty evident. So there's a lot of textures in here where one of us will pop up out of this mundane and then get pushed back down into the mundane. So nothing is any more important than the other. And then we pop out in the middle of that to do a dance. I know this sounds extremely bizarre if you haven't read the short stories, but it makes complete sense once you've read it. Movement three is called Epicac, the computer. Vonnegut stories tend to fall into two categories. One are love stories, and two are kind of end-of-the-world stories. So you got those two. This is one of the love stories. But it's a love story involving a computer who learns to love and realizes that it hurts too much to exist and love someone who doesn't love him back. So the computer decides to, in the end, kill itself. But before it does, it spits out 1,000 years worth of love poems to give to this girl. So in this movement, the baritone saxophone represents Epicac, the computer, in the computer's peril for unrequited love. Again, this sounds, hearing me describe it sounds complete lunacy, but it makes sense when you hear it. The fourth movement is another love story called The Long Walk to Forever. Now, this one is the most normal premise that there is. Basically, this one is a boy loves girl. Girl is supposed to be married to somebody else. Boy goes to talk the girl out of it. She says, I know you're right, but I'm going to marry him anyway. And then he goes off and is sad. That's very straightforward. And this one has a nice improvised tenor saxophone solo, kind of expressing the forlorn love of the protagonist. Now, the fifth movement is called Man Without a Country. This one is just based on his memoir called Man Without a Country, where it's just chapter after chapter of kind of short rants on everything that really irritates Kurt Vonnegut. And it's called Man Without a Country. So there are lots of dense, angry, and sardonic things in the fifth movement. But basically, Kurt Vonnegut it was a very interesting man, and I wrote this because it was shortly after he died, I decided to finally read up on Vonnegut and write something about him. He was a World War II war veteran in a POW camp, and he grew to be kind of a fatalist and very sarcastic and a staunch pacifist, as it turns out. I don't think we've had another writer quite like Kurt Vonnegut. So without further ado, after I've blah-blahed for this long, here's a five-movement work called Vonnegut, Suite for Saxophone Quartet. And this will be our final piece. And if you want to bother us or ask us questions at the end, that would be great, too. Because we like to champion the saxophone and new music and all sorts of stuff like that. So thanks for listening to us.
Thank you.